Good morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name is Colin Barnes. I'm part of the Central Leadership Team of River Church. My wife's Sadie. We've got three children, one of which is with us today. The others are in Maidenhead. It's good to be with you. Oh, hallelujah. What a fantastic time this morning's already been, isn't it? We hardly need a preach. We do. Thanks, Paul. Gee, I was waiting for that. No. Florence, you gave such a passionate introduction to the meeting. My heart was really stirred by the things you shared, so thank you. And the band, fabulous. Weren't they good? Thanks, guys. Just give them a clap. You know, and all the hard work that's gone into the river and the pictures and the flags. Thank you. You know, you guys are full of life, full of energy. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. What's that? Better than being dead, yes, absolutely. Yeah, would it save us from boredom? From quiet nothingness. Not quiet contemplation. Yeah, Father, Father, I want to just pray, Lord God, that you speak through me again today, that by your Spirit, there is so much to say in so little time. And Father, just want to say the things that you want to speak to us this morning. I pray that you would use the words that we speak over one another this morning to bless one another, to build one another up. Because I know that's your heart, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you're moving in this place by your Spirit already, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that promise when you said that he did not give up. You know, he gave us Christ. How will he not along with him give us all things? All things. Oh, what a generous God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, I thank God there's laughter in heaven. I really thank God. You know, laughter is one of the best medicines, isn't it? One of the best medicines. So bring it on, Holy Spirit. We want more of your joy, more of your laughter, more of your love in our lives. Oh, Jesus. If I'm allowed to, and I'm a man under authority, so I may not be, I'd just like to talk a bit about the call of Abraham this morning. Yeah, I just realised how apt that is. I never really thought of the call of Abraham as being a great joke. But it is striking me this morning how funny that is, because Abraham was a man who laughed when he heard the word of God. He laughed. He said, "You must be joking." As they say in Nepal, "Jiskeko." You must be joking. When, you're like Sarah, she laughed. And God said, "You must be joking," she said to God. "You must be joking. Am I going to have a son in my old age? You've got to be joking. I'm 90, for goodness sake." Oh, God is a wonderful God of impossible things. And they have a son who called Laughter, didn't they? He laughs. Oh, Lord Jesus, give us laughter. Give us laughter. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Now the Lord, I'm going to read a few verses from chapter 12. It's full of laughs. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Oh, what a promise. What a promise. Now, let's understand the significance of this. I mean, the first 11 chapters, they're the background, okay? They're the backdrop. They're like the stage. They're setting the scene. And don't get me wrong, there's some fantastic truths in those first 11 chapters. Absolutely amazing, breathtaking truths. But it's just the backdrop for the story, for the play. It's just the backdrop for God's rescue of the world. To explain why the world is in such a mess. To explain why there are nations. To explain why people feel far from God. To explain why there's so much pain and suffering. To explain why there's death. To explain why there's that hole in us that cries out for meaning, significance. There must be something more to life. We get so hit up over those first few chapters, don't we? They are amazing. We learn that God is a creator who made things out of nothing. He made something out of nothing. Just by speaking. That's how powerful he is. That's how powerful his words are. He made us in his image. That's a scary thought. When we look at one another, you're a bit like God. You're a bit like God. Even wisdom's a bit like God. You're a bit like God. Do you know that? Do you say that to yourself when you look in the mirror? No. Neither do I. But maybe I should. I'm a bit like God. Heaven help us. I'm a bit like God. And this God wanted to be with us. He used to come and walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the garden. Just to have time together, fellowship, fun. His heart was always on earth. Fantastic. You know, God, it's not for nothing that God describes his people as his bride. You know, when a man falls in love, he can think about nothing else. Take my word for it. It's true. I defy any man to stand up and say it's otherwise true. When you fall in love, you become obsessed. You can think of nothing else but your beautiful bride. You want to be with your bride. You want to be with the woman of your love. You can't wait till the day when you get married and you can be together forever and ever. Till death do you part. You can't wait for that day. Hallelujah. God is the same. God is the same. You know, we're in a betrothal period. Do you know that? We are betrothed. God's heart, when he made us, was always to fellowship with us. Not at a distance. Not like some distant, omnipresent, omnipowerful, omni-this, omni-that thing that we could never reach out and grab hold of and touch. But as an intimate God, a Father. Close. Like husband and wife, close. Scarily close. You know, God never wanted the separation. God never wanted to be in heaven and man to be on earth. Do you know that? Do you know that? If you read the story of creation, the second day is the only day that God doesn't declare good. He stands back on every other day and declares what he's made good. But when he's looking at this, when he's looking at the separation of heaven and earth, he says, no, it's silent at the end of that day. That really stands out to me. Why is there silence? Because actually, that's not God's heart. He said, oh, I don't want to be, I want to be with man on the earth. And we know that because at the end of time, when there's the wedding, when God finally gets his girl, hallelujah, we have a massive wedding and God comes to be with us. Fantastic love story. We're supposed to rule this world. In the meantime, we're supposed to rule the world for him. We're supposed to make it a kind of place he'd want to be. You know, build a nest. We're the nest builders. We're supposed to build a home where God would love to be. A place of joy. A place of freedom. A place of love. Where we love one another. That's what we were supposed to fill the earth with, love. And with joy. And with laughter. We were supposed to fill the whole world with those things. But boy, did we screw up. We know how to make big mistakes, don't we? We do know how to hurt one another. We know how to be selfish. We know how to be cruel. We know how to be angry. When actually God wants us to bless and to build up and to encourage and to love. We disobeyed God. We joined the rebellion that Satan was leading. Satan was saying, I'm as good as God. You might as well follow me. And we said, yeah, that sounds all right. Maybe God's holding out on us. Duh. How stupid could we be? And yet, if we're honest, how many of us say that these days? God's holding out on me. Maybe if I do this other thing that Satan wants me to do, actually I'll get the thing that God's holding out on me. And so we rebel. We do the thing we know that hurts God. Oh boy. We're just following the footsteps of our ancestors. And so sin spreads to all men. Not all men weren't born sinners, but sin spreads to all men as we choose to join in that rebellion. And of course, we had the flood in those first 11 chapters. You know, where God is so wounded by us, a spurned lover. You know, when your girl rejects you, the pain. You don't think you can live with it. Any men ever been spurned? I have. The pain. And God was grieved. He said, I wish I'd never made man. He doesn't love me. All the intentions of his heart are evil. He's tempted to wipe it all out and start again. But he sees a glimmer of hope in one man, one family. I won't start completely over. We have the story of Noah, don't we? And then but man still continues to rebel. And God has to do something quite dramatic. He forms the nations. He scatters man across the face of the earth, gives them different languages. And that was a safety for us. Do you know why? That was a grace to us. The forming, often you think, if only there weren't nations, if we were all just one nation, wouldn't it be so much better? No wars, would there? We'd have just one government. We might have a few riots. We might have a few demonstrations against the government. But you know, we wouldn't have global conflicts. But nations are so important. Because in our world with nations, if one nation goes completely rotten, like Cambodia did, it's not the whole world that's gone completely rotten. If one country goes completely rotten, like Nazi Germany did, the whole world doesn't go rotten. It's a grace to us that we're not one nation, because there could be no limit to our sin otherwise. So this is just the backdrop, okay? These are just the big things that we've got to learn from these first 11 chapters. There are no details, there's prehistory. No one was there. Well, they were, but not one was writing anything down. And we get so hung up about it, we argue about it, whether it's science or whether it's not. And actually, you know, who cares? I really mean that with all due respect to the word, you can tell that when I'm speaking, I love this book. I love the stories in it. But when it comes to whether it's science or not, who cares? I don't want to be fighting to get it taught in schools as science. I'd rather fight to have the Sermon on the Mount taught or the Lord's Prayer taught. Something which will give value and meaning to a young life. They can figure it out for themselves. And yet we get so hung up about it, we fight over it. And really, it doesn't matter to me whether God made the world in 6 days, 6 minutes, 6 seconds, 6 billion trillion years. You know, for me, that's unimportant. The fact that he made it is patently obvious. But who cares how he did it or how long it took? The Bible was never intended to be a science textbook. Let's not try and make it such. And then we get to this wonderful few verses I read out, which seem to cause a lot of laughter. And we learn something great about God straight away. Who's had enough of hearing bad news? Who's sick to death of hearing bad news? I am. Doesn't it just get to you? You watch the telly, you get bad news. You read the papers, you get bad news. You listen to reporters, you get bad news. Whatever you do, it's bad news. I'm fed up with it. Really, literally, in the true sense of the word, fed up. Who wants to hear good news? There's three of us. Woohoo! Who wants to hear good news? There's a few more now, you know. Puts me in mind a Monty Python sketch. There was much rejoicing when there clearly wasn't. I have fantastic news this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on, tell me the good news. Dish it. Yeah. Tell me that wonderful news. We have fantastic news. And here it is, written in these few verses. When God starts to deal with man in a historical way, he calls one man. He begins his rescue mission with one man, Abraham. He gives him some wonderful news. Hey, Abraham, come with me. Walk with me. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. And it's as if throughout over the history, you know, over the thousands of years, God is speaking to you through Abraham. And God has the same message. He wants to put his arm around your shoulder and say, come with me. Come with me. Because I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Let's walk in the river. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Come with me. Come this way. Walk this way because I want to bless you. That's God's heart for you.
We got some good news.
What's your good news?
This week we thought one of the babies wasn't moving, and we prayed with Wisdom and Tom, and we went to the hospital, and the good news is the baby's 100%.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's good news.
And it's a double blessing because there's two,
yes.
And we've got 3 weeks to go.
So. Whoa! Yay. Glory! Glory. Father, we want to pray over those unborn twins, Father. We want to pray over them, Lord God, your blessing. We want to pray your great blessing, and not just a small blessing, Father. We want to release tremendous blessing over their young lives at this young age. Oh, Lord God, let them be blessed. Let them walk in love. Let them walk in truth. Let them walk in hope. Let them walk in faith. Let them walk in peace. And let them breathe. Children of God who bring those things to this planet. Let them walk as kings and queens here, as Adam and Eve were supposed to. Let them walk, Father God, in your love, and let them bring heaven to earth. Let them bring joy and peace and hope and kindness. Let them bring love wherever they go. Let them be light bearers, little light bearers, little Christs. Let them be, Father. We speak that over them in the name of Jesus. Bless them. Amen. Amen. Thank you. But that is God's heart for all of us. I could pray that over anybody that's moving. Well, I could probably pray over some dead ones as well, but that takes a little bit more faith. I'm told to. Hallelujah. One day we should, didn't we? We should expect it. But that is God's heart. God's heart has not changed. You know, that is fabulous. You can just see God getting alongside a man and saying, come on, come with me. Bless you. I want to bless you. Where are you going? I want to bless you. Where are you going, Kenny Mary? I want to bless you. So much blessing. The first words God ever spoke. You know, some people think, oh, Colin's talking wishy-washy blessing gospel again. That love and kind of, where's all the hard stuff? But for me, God does use the hard stuff, but as a last resort. You know, with my kids, I use the hard stuff sometimes, but not as a first resort. Not as a kind of, when they wake up in the morning, you know, good morning, come here, you better behave. You know, I'm just full of joy over my kids. I want the best, I want to love them. I want them to know and be confident in my love. And God's like that with us. What was the first thing he did for Adam and Eve when he made them? Do you know? Can you remember? Yeah, he blessed them. There's a Bible scholar. Yeah, he blessed them. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Hallelujah. There's those wonderful words in Jeremiah, isn't it? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. How many people have been given a card with that on? We love to send those words to one another, don't we? Because we acknowledge that's the truth. We acknowledge that is God's heart for every man, woman and child. Why did Jesus come? Tick us off? Put us straight? Why did he come? To save us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son to save us. The reason the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Not to beat up his children. To save us. God's heart is to save, to bless, to build up, to strengthen, to encourage. And then we get these words to Abraham. They mimic that. And you know, I love evangelism. Anybody here love evangelism? If I go for some time without actually being able to talk to someone about this stuff who doesn't know it, I get really sad on the inside. Just the way that God's made me. But you know, I don't understand those that don't love evangelism. What is there not to love? This is fantastic news. We have good news for people. That's what it means. Good newsing it is that if you want a translation of evangelism, euangelion, is good news. So the verb is good newsing it. Good newsing it. I love good newsing it. But you've got good news to share. It's quite fun, isn't it? Yeah? These guys, they want to share their good news. When you've got good news to share, it kind of bubbles out. You can't actually keep it in, can you? I can't anyway. I'm not very good at keeping good news. I want to tell someone. Where's my phone? Quick. When Sadie was having the baby in Kathmandu last year, I was phoning around everybody. Come on, it's happening. It started, guys. Keep praying. And when it arrived, again, texting and emailing everyone to tell them the wonderful news that we had a son. You can't keep that kind of news to yourself. It comes out. And we've got so much wonderful news. It's got to come out. If it's going in, it's got to come out. There's not a container big enough to contain it. Your heart's not big enough. It's going to explode if you try. And keep all that blessing to yourself and keep all those wonderful things to yourself. Oh, this is amazing. Who can I tell? I love evangelism. You know, we have good news, folks. In this season, when they're hearing bad news, people are going around looking a bit miserable. Aren't they? They're really living under a depression. Depression's a really horrible word, but we're living under a depression, a depressive cloud. The skies are grey, but actually, the skies are really grey over people's hearts. And then you can see it on their faces. But not, it shouldn't be on ours. We live under a different sky, under an open heaven. That doesn't mean that things are always going to be easy for us, okay? Don't miss... Oh, my word, I'm running out. I've hardly even got started. When did I start? Look, this is terrible. Right, I better get going. Look. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. When God said that to Abraham, what's the next thing that happens to Abraham? He leaves his home, leaves his comforts, but what then happens? God takes him to a new land, and then what happens? Where his father is, but there's a famine. Verse 10, just 7 verses later on, there's a famine. That's not going to sound like blessing, does it? Famine? When God blessed Adam and Eve, it doesn't mean they were protected from every snake that came wandering by in the garden. There's a few snakes been wandering around our lives, isn't there? Yeah? We've got to kick them out and stamp on their heads. The lies of the enemy. When God said to the exiles, you know, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in a future, look at the people he was saying that to. Where were they? In captivity. Were they happy? They were flipping miserable. You know, I don't swear, but actually, to get the kind of grossness of their state, you'd want to swear. They were really, 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 really down. Nothing compared to what we're going through at the moment in this country. They were completely and utterly devastated. They'd lost everything. Probably lost a lot of family, a lot of lives, a lot of loved ones, but they lost their homes, their plans, their hopes, their dreams, their futures, everything. Their God had seemed to desert them. Everything had gone. In a strange land, surrounded by really cruel people. And God says, I know the plans I've got for you, plans to give you hope in the future. You think, thanks a lot! But that was a grace to them. They needed to hear it at that time. Because when they were looking at their circumstances, they could have got all kinds of thoughts about what God has in store for them. Maybe this is just the beginning. Maybe things are going to get worse and worse and worse. But God says, no, I'm going to bless you. My heart is still the same. After I've had to discipline one of my kids and be strong with them, my heart towards them hasn't changed. I still love them to bits. I can still tell them, I really have great plans for your life. And God's the same with us. The trouble is, sometimes we look at our circumstances, we look at the things going on around us, and we forget that. All we can think about is the pain. All we can think about is the things we haven't got. The fact that we're not where we're supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in the promised land. I'm not supposed to be in Babylon. Some people are sitting there this morning and they're thinking about where you're not, what you haven't got, where you're supposed to be. God says, stop thinking about those things. They'll tear you up. They'll eat you up. They'll eat every single bit of energy you've got and leave you like a husk. Don't think about those things. But think about this. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Think about that. Dwell on that. And in fact, wherever you are now, like he says to the exiles, wherever you are now, plant vineyards. Sow crops. Build houses. Give your sons and daughters away in marriage. Give them away in marriage. Enjoy life. The things that you've got in front of you to do, do them. Enjoy it. Don't worry about where you're not, what you haven't got, what you think you've lost. Because I know the plans I have for you. Shift your focus. Because we have a choice. We can live under that grey sky, under the economic gloom, under the threat of redundancy or actual redundancy or under sickness or under oppression or under problems with our neighbours. We can live under all those things. Financial difficulty. We can live under all of these things, but we don't have to. We can live under a clear sky. We can live in the sunshine. It's S-O-N, sunshine. We can live in the sunshine all the time because the sun is always shining. We're meant to live on the beach, lying in the sun. When you do that, you feel the warmth go right through you, don't you? When you've laid just for 5 or 10 minutes in the sun, doesn't it feel good? Your whole body feels wonderful. When you lie for 5 or 10 minutes in the sunshine of God's love, that feeling is magnified 100 times. That's where we're called to live. And I love that passage that Florence read out earlier. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Oh, apart from my circumstances, Colin, you don't know my circumstances. No, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. No problem, no hardship, no famine, no disease, no Satan, no demon, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Some things unfortunately do. Why is that? Why is that? They don't actually do, but we think they do. We allow them to come in and oppress us. We allow them, those clouds, to build up. And the more we think about them, the more we dwell on them, the darker our hearts become. And we lose our joy. We lose our peace. And God's all the time is shining, the sun is shining, saying, look this way. Look this way. I have plans to give you hope in the future, prosper you, not to harm you. And in this season, we should be men and women who spread that. Yeah? When people come and be with us, they should notice a difference. Because we're not living under the same cloud everyone else is living under. We've got a reason to be joyful, and a reason to dance, and a reason to shout, and a reason to scream, a reason to laugh. We do! The sun is always shining where we live. And I'm not being trite when I say that, because I know there are real pains and real hardships. You know, I'm not being trite. But the sun is always shining, because we know the plans that God has for us. And despite what the enemy might do, despite the circumstances he might bring our way and put us under, or try to put us under, we know that Christ leads us in triumph, in victory. He is going to be with us through those difficulties and see us out the other side and lead us into victory. We are assured of that. You and I are going to live forever in love on this new heaven, new earth. We are going to live forever with a wonderful God. You know, Psalm 37, verse 18 and 19, it says, blessed is the upright man. Just, I'm going to read those verses out of you, and I'll try and wind this up. Oh, glory. It says, the Lord knows the days of the blameless. Who are the blameless? We're blameless because of Jesus. We are blameless because we're covered with the blood of God, the blood of the Son of God. We are blameless. Blessed, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. That's good to know, isn't it? No one's stealing our inheritance. Someone's stealing it. Oh. Get in, thief. I said, no one's stealing our inheritance. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil. And listen to this. And in the days of famine, they will have abundance. Oh, glory. In the days of famine, they will have plenty. They will have abundance. I speak that over you. I prophesy over you. In the days of, this is the day of famine for most people. In the days of famine, we have a provider. See, Jesus came to give us life, but not just so we can stay alive, barely, miserably crawling through the dust. Oh, I just made it. Oh, thank goodness that didn't last another moment longer, otherwise I'd have perished. No, he came to give us life abundantly, abundant life. It's the same story in the new and the old. God's the same God, the same God of love and of grace, who loves to bless, who loves to prosper us, who doesn't want to harm us. Yes, we may be going through some economic trials because of the general downwards moral decline of the world, but In the midst of that, God's people would still have abundance. We can be wealthy men and women. Paul says, though poor, I make many rich. Now, we've got to have that kind of attitude in our hearts. We're kings and queens. Hey, I'm a son of the living God. You're a daughter of the living God. You're a daughter of the living God. You're an ambassador for the maker of heaven and earth. That is some title, let me tell you. Woo! We have been honored. You have been given a position of honor. What you say is powerful. When a person of honor and influence says something, it happens generally. When you speak, your words are power, because that's your rightful position to rule and to reign on this world. God gave it to us to do with as we willed. So our words, just like the Father's words, have power to create. Our words have power. We're to speak powerfully over one another, to prophesy powerfully into one another's lives. Is it Pat? Before Patricia, before the meeting, she prayed and she saw a picture of God like sowing seeds out from when I was speaking. And I said, actually, that's for the whole congregation, not for me. This is for us all. When we speak, there are seeds that come out and get planted in the lives of others, in the communities that we live in. We have to be careful what we say, because we can curse and we can bless. We can build up or we can tear down. And in a minute, I want you to really exercise that power over one another. I want you to find someone in a minute and pray and prophesy over them. If you haven't done that before, that may sound scary, but it's not. Just bless them. Speak good things into their lives. Whatever you see, whatever you feel led at that moment, it's the Spirit speaking through you. Be bold. Speak those words of power. Prophesy those seeds into their heart in this season. And let's see God honor that and fulfill the word of his prophets, his sons and daughters. Honor the word of his ambassadors. Because we speak in the name of the King. In the name of the King. When we build one another up, when we prophesy good things, we speak in the name of the King. And God and all of heaven will back up what we say and speak blessing to one another. And we need it in this season, so that we live in the sunshine. We need to speak these things over one another. We need to dwell in these things and remind one another of the blessings of God on ourselves and on our lives. Now, I just want to finish with this story and then we'll pray. Because, you know, God really has blessed us in this season. When I came back from Nepal with my family, I felt that I should not go back into IT full time, but actually to try and spend more time ministering and building the church. But I didn't really have an income. I had a couple of days I was being paid by the church, but that was less than half of what we needed as a family to live on. And that was difficult. We felt peace about it, but at the same time, we thought, this can't go on for too long. And my wife said, okay, we can go to Christmas. We'll see what happens. And, you know, the closer it got to Christmas, the more edgy we became. And the tougher we found it, as our money was dwindling and there was no change. And we had a few fights, a few arguments. As tension was building in our home. But still, we had a peace that actually this was the right thing to be doing, which is crazy. And normally, if you know me, I'm normally a very eminently sensible person. You might think I'm crazy. Some people think I'm crazy, taking my pregnant wife to Nepal for a year and my family. But I don't normally do crazy things. And this seemed like it was a crazy thing to me. And when I was trying to explain to my parents, they said, Colin, you know, what are you doing? You know, how are you living? And I said, I don't know. And my mum said to me, I'm not worried, she says. I'm not worried. Clearly she was. I'm not worried because you always do the sensible thing. You could just hear her on the inside wanting to say, now do the sensible thing and get a job. But harder than that was then talking to Sadie's father, my wife's father. And he would come to me on a couple of occasions and he would say, Colin, do you know what you're doing? And you could see in his eyes, you know, you're looking after my daughter. You're looking after my three grandchildren. Are you looking after them? Do you know what you're doing? And that was really difficult. I said, no, I don't know what I'm doing, but I feel this is the right thing to do. And, so, and his partner said, oh, so you, what you're telling us, it's a calling, in a kind of really kind of way. And I said, yes, I feel called to do this. And you get the your comments, you still on holiday? Yeah, and they're lovely people, but they're deeply concerned for the family. And are we making a terrible mistake? And that was really tough, I tell you. I found that very, very difficult. But you know, God has come through for us amazingly. And we were blessed in January with a financial blessing from when I was a director of a company a few years back. And some shares I had that were worth nothing are suddenly worth a bit of money. So God has given us a space, a breathing space, and more freedom. Amazing. Just like Tom was praying earlier, they're saying earlier, you know, God is amazing. What a faithful God. What timing. What timing. I just want to say that, so hopefully that encourages you and strengthens you. God is amazing. And in this time of famine, we must not fear. We must not live under the cloud of fear that other people live under, because God is faithful and he will look after us. He's our shepherd, as we heard earlier. Now, I only want you to exercise this faith, okay? So let's pray over one another and bless one another and prophesy into one another's lives. If you're uncomfortable doing that, stay seated and someone will come and find you. But I really want everybody to exercise their mouths, okay? And if everyone stays seated, we're going to be here a long time, because I'm going to come around everyone. But I know you guys, you're mad, aren't you? So you're going to join in. Yes? Oh, Father God, thank you that we don't live under this depression. We don't live under the cloud of bad news, because we live under the love of a God who cares passionately for us. Thank you. You've revealed your heart to us, which is to bless and to build up and to encourage. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. And Father, we pray this morning that you give us the words, that you will show us pictures and visions, and you would enable us to speak powerfully into one another's lives the truth that you intend to bless us and not curse us, to prosper us, not harm us. Oh Lord Jesus, help us to do that, to speak those words into one another's lives. And I prophesy over this group of people, Father God, and pray for them, that you, and let them know that they are blessed people. They are children of the King. And what their words are powerful. Let them know that, Father, not as an intellectual thing, but in their hearts. Let them know that they are sons and daughters of the living God, ambassadors of the King of Kings. And what they say has tremendous power. Oh, Lord Jesus, bless this people. Bless them. Fill them again with your Spirit, even now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go to it, church.